Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime, coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Out of us, who would make the best spy?
I don't have pockets because I'm a girl and I'm not allowed pockets.
Oh god, yeah.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Right, Amanda, tell me, are we rolling?
I am.
Ooh. I like to start it pretty creepy. Hello, welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today, we're joined by our guest, who's a top author. It's Ava Glass!
Yay! Welcome, Ava!
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. A little warm, but yes. You know, hanging in.
We are recording this in what we call the studio, which is my flat where we have to close all the windows and doors because it's not a great neighbourhood. But Ava, we ask on this podcast just one question, which is, tell me about spies. Our audience will know that is not the regular question, but Ava writes crime fiction and also has experience with real life spies. And I just want to know what one of them's like. Just one of them. Pick your favourite.
Okay. I will tell you. Oh, there's two and they're both good. One's a woman, one's a man. Choose.
I mean, I want to know about the woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the woman was the first spy I ever met. She was about 28 years old, and I did not know she was a spy for quite a while, because I'm an idiot.
And she's a good spy.
And she's a good spy. That's yeah. True, too. But, you know, I'm supposed to be smart. I am not smart. So there we are. It was a lesson. So when I first started working for the government, they did a background check on me. They do it. It takes about 6 weeks. I know nothing about it. You either get your pass or you don't get your pass.
Ooh.
Exactly. And so I got my pass and I'm like, done. That was easy. Fine. I'm in. And so I go to work, but I'm not doing the work I'm supposed to be doing, which is working with intelligence officers as a communication specialist, like helping to spread the word about the good work they're doing. None of them will talk to me. And so, and I keep asking people and everybody's like, oh, everyone's busy. You know, it's going to happen. And then one day I met this young woman in the kitchen at the office and she was new and she worked in legal. She didn't know where anything was. Can I use this cup? Is it okay to use this? And she was really sweet. I really liked her. She was younger than me, super cute, normal. And then the next day she was on my bus coming from Waterloo Station. I was like, what a coincidence, you again, amazing. And then a couple days later in my coffee shop. And so by then we're friends, right? Because this is fate. So we kept going to lunch and hanging out. This lasted about 3 weeks and then she disappeared.
What?
Her email disappeared. Her phone disappeared. That doesn't happen in the civil service. Your email is forever. They're too incompetent to get rid of an email. Like, mine probably still exists. It was 12 years ago. And that's when I met the spies again. That's when they came to meet me. And I realized sometime later, like not immediately, but somebody dropped a hint. And I'm like, oh my God, she was a spy. And she was my background check.
I was, you know, I was about to say, was she spying on you?
Why do you keep running into each other?
Like, yeah.
Whoa.
Holy shit, I really was thinking that as well, genuinely.
It's such a woman thing though. You're like, it's fate, we're besties.
Exactly. So she was good. She was, and that's why I wrote books. That's why I write books about spies, because wanted to write her. So my spy is based on her.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to know, how could she be, guys, 27, 28,
yes,
so good at lying, so believable, so convincing. I mean, I do think I have some, like now, some awareness of what's around me. And I'm just like, I really like her. She's nice.
But now you're going to be like, meet someone who wants to be your friend and you'd be like, yeah, right.
Obviously,
you'll be gone in 3 weeks, lady.
Exactly.
I would think that is a huge asset to be young and female.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ones you don't suspect.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we are a sexist society.
Yes.
But I do wonder, how do you work your way up? And you're only 28 and that's your job. Like, where do you start? Like, in the spy internship program? Like, what's your background? How do you do that?
That stuff is so secret and I really want to know. So I make it up in my books because I want to imagine,
yes,
how that must work.
Yeah,
you know? Because
yeah, yeah,
how do you train? How do you, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, you just have it or you don't have it and they watch you. I think they just watch you.
Oh my gosh, they're all watching.
That's
definitely
great.
Passed me over. Like, that one? No.
Same. And I was in the office.
You had an opportunity to be recruited.
I was right there.
Oh, to be amazing. Like in Men in Black, where they go like, oh, right, yeah, this way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to be so worried, yeah, about any new friendships now.
Especially after talking to me.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a really annoying spy that just had an annoying personality?
No, I haven't.
Really?
And I think that wouldn't be allowed. Like, you'd be such a rubbish spy if everybody hated you.
Oh my God, so my husband is not a spy. Oh my God. What a way to find out.
That's interesting.
Charm is important.
Sense. Yeah, they've got to weed out the, I don't know what the word is. Because I was going to say narcissist, but actually there must be a high amount of narcissists.
I would think so.
With the ego that's required.
A narcissist can be terribly charming.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at my dating history. But I'm chum.
So out of us, who would make the best spy?
I'm very friendly.
I look at Ava. We've just met Ava. I'm like, probably her.
It's really hard.
Out of the three of us, Katie.
100%
Katie.
Yeah, maybe Casey.
So I'd have to get to know you better, but I mean...
Well, I'll pop up in your coffee shop.
Then I'll know.
I think we're way too... Like, you can actually stay calm.
Wow.
You can keep a straight face. Mine's always like...
This is very flattering.
Katie, I've always thought of you as a spy, yeah, and I'm glad this has come up.
It's always good to have a plan B career.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
MI5 is always hiring.
Yeah. Great dental.
Oh my God.
It's fine because they can't, it's similar, it's vaguely similar with the police because they have to, like, you're not allowed to become a police officer if you've got relatives in prison and stuff because you could get bribed and stuff.
Mm.
So it must be obviously even stricter to join MI5.
Yeah. A spy told me once about getting top secret clearance because there's multiple levels of clearance and mine was second from the top. Top
wow.
secret being the absolutely top.
That's high.
Well, I didn't know. This is the thing. I didn't know.
It was so secret.
I didn't know that exactly. And so a friend of mine who was a spy, who had top secret clearance, told me that part of his clearance was an elderly ex-spy coming to his house, sitting down, discussing opera, and
yeah.
then asking him to name every person he'd ever had sex with in his life.
Whoa.
I mean, there wouldn't be enough time for me, am I right, guys?
Oh my gosh. Why the opera? Was the opera just to warm him up? So speaking of opera.
Yeah, speaking of tragic death. You know? Yeah. I need to hear about your dating history.
Enough about La Boheme. Who's blown you?
Amazing. I could genuinely talk about how crap a spy I'd be all day. But...
we picked the wrong podcast.
Yeah, we might have done. I'm looking at my case going, this isn't as interesting. But the question we do ask on this podcast is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have been the victim of a few crimes. Two of them are particularly, I would say, entertaining and memorable.
Do go on.
Okay. So I used to live in the States, the first one. So I'll give you my first remembered crime. So I was mugged in New Orleans.
Ooh.
When I lived in New Orleans. And it was like everybody got mugged in New Orleans. This is no big deal. This was, it's just a, it's part of living there. It's the joy. You know, you get jazz fest and mugged. And when I was really afraid of it because it was like, it was a big thing. People got shot in muggings. And so yeah. I knew, like the police made it really clear. If you get mugged, just give them everything, be really polite.
Wow.
And so my boyfriend and I was quite young. And my boyfriend and I were walking in the French Quarter. And these two men just appeared. Like they just melted out of the darkness, if I can use the term. And we were only a little drunk. And they had a gun, or at least it looked like a gun. It was so quick, I couldn't look. I couldn't look at it, because if I looked at it, I would throw up on him, which would not help. And so they basically said, you know, the usual, your money or your life, whatever it is, give it up, I think was more or less what they said.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend at the time had just finished a double shift working as a waiter, which is what we did at the time. He had $200, which to us was an infinite amount of money in his backpack. And he didn't want to do it, but we knew. And so he just said, like, it's all in here, just take it. Like, just take it. And they separated us really smoothly. Like, we didn't even notice it happening. One had me on one side of the car, one had him on the other. And apparently he told me later they were telling him, if you don't give us everything, we'll kill her.
Wow.
And they told me, just stay really still and everything will be fine. So I just stayed really still and, like, did a mental calculation of every piece of jewelry I was wearing that might be worth anything. Because most of my stuff was just cheap silver. But I had one ring, which was my mother's.
Oh.
And so, like, while they're both watching my boyfriend give up his money, I'm like working the ring off my finger and trying to find some place to put it. And I like I don't have pockets because I'm a girl and I'm not allowed pockets. So I'm kind of just like dropping it into my sock, like, an itch. And nobody seemed to notice. And I thought, got away with that, you know? And then they're like,
you know, when you get that itchy ankle when you're being mugged.
Yeah. But here's the thing, they're like looking at my earrings and like, no. They rejected all my jewelry, which is kind of insulting. And
they know what they're doing, huh?
They were professional, man, which they're later.
Like, this is from Marshall's.
Yeah, no, we're not having that. You got that at a market, $10. And so then they had everything and they're like, we're going. And then that was like reverse Columbo. Like, he turned around, he said, just one more thing. What did you put in your sock?
No!
And I was like, you don't want it. It's not that much. It's just my mom's ring. You know, you don't want it. And he's like, I just need to see it. And so, like, rather than get shot, I took it out of my sock. And he's like, I'm very sorry, but I do have to take this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. He said he was sorry.
I'm telling you, they were pros. They had done this many times before.
Yeah, and he sounded very good.
Yeah.
He did say, credit is due.
His parting words were, but look, you get to keep your life. It's a good night. And then they told us to walk away while they stood there, which, let me tell you, when you're walking away from a gun, is like awkward. And so we're just running to the bar on the corner, which was a gay bar our friend worked at. And we're just like pounding on the window going, Perry, mugged. And he said, oh, not you too. Anyway. Anyway.
Oh, you are lucky to be alive.
Well, indeed.
Jesus. It's lucky that they didn't get more angry that you had tried to hide the ring. Do you know what I mean?
Ooh. They seemed to consider it rather sweet.
So cute. I thought we didn't notice that.
Yeah, I have such mixed feelings about that, because I'm partly like so annoyed. I can see why you would have the gratitude. They've absolutely stolen a precious family piece of jewelry, but it's also like, it was almost a dick move to hide it, but it made complete sense to hide it.
Yes.
But it's, I would just be in a tiz trying to work out how what I feel about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You've just reminded me that I had an English teacher who had lived in New Orleans, because you're saying everybody gets mugged and they have guns. And she was, for some reason, bold enough to refuse to give
her money, and she got shot in the face.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you want to endear a group of high schoolers to you, you open with, because you could tell that her face had been reconstructed, and she's like, so I guess you're going to want to know about my face first. And she tells this story, and wow. She's so proud of it. Because, oh, I mean, her jaw was falling off. Like, she is so lucky to be alive. Jesus. But she yelled after the guy. He ended up running away because he couldn't believe that, like, he shot her in the face, and then he freaked out, I think, that he'd done that. Wow. I've just killed somebody. And she yelled after him, you still didn't get my fucking money!
Oh my God.
Falling off.
Oh my God. Wow.
She was such a great teacher, too.
Oh, I love the fact she was just like an English teacher. Like, I don't know what teacher I would have expected it from. Like, maybe a PE teacher.
Like, the female John Wick. Just, like, not giving in.
Anyway, let's talk about Cannery Row.
Fucking
today,
hell, man.
Steinbeck. And you have two crimes, you said.
Okay, so my second crime is British because I am dual nationality, so I like to be even in how I distribute my crime.
That's fair.
So I was living in Walthamstow way before it was nice, and when it was just cheap. And I got burgled, as, again, I think pretty much everybody can say. Oh, yeah. And it was fine. They kicked in the door, which would have taken quite some time.
Oh.
And it was a good door. It had good locks on it. And the cop, when he finally came, was like, wow, they would have spent time on this. He almost sounded like admiring. Like, that can't have been easy.
Craftsmanship on this break.
Exactly. Craftsmanship.
They basically took the whole wall down. And there wasn't much. Oh. Like, again, I never had much. I took my laptop, which was very sad. Oh. Because it was one of those clamshell apples, the early ones.
I remember those. Oh,
fun.
I didn't have
one, but I remember seeing them.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, they were. Up.
My friend had one.
It actually looked like a clamshell.
Yeah. And it like had a purple top and a sort of white bottom.
Oh my goodness.
Super cute.
I want one now.
Really cute.
Oh, that's a shame.
And so they took that and they took my passport, which really sucked because at the time I worked for a publishing travel company and I was about to go to Girona the next day.
Oh,
and I was very excited to go to Girona. I did not go to Girona. And the passport also had my visa stamp in it, which meant I was suddenly illegal on so many levels.
Oh my God.
So I had to go to about every embassy there is in London.
God, yeah, all the paperwork. Yeah. Fucking hell. That's
I cried in every embassy and they all felt really sorry for me.
I love that as a sentence. I cried in every embassy.
Name an embassy. I've cried in it.
I would wear that t-shirt. I've cried in every embassy. It is. It's such a nightmare. Paperwork really is the real crime.
Yeah, that's true.
The gift of having to do paperwork.
Yeah, try telling that to your English teacher. Like, fucking hell.
I know. You got your face back after a few painful surgeries. Sure.
Okay, but to add insult to injury, because my crime goes on, my flatmate was just really beautiful German girl named Mila. She was stunning, size 6, white blonde hair, the biggest blue eyes. That cop, who when he came, adored her so much, I could not get him into my room to write up the things I had lost.
Wow.
And because he would just thought, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you didn't lose anything else?
Oh my God.
And what do you do for a living? Where do you work? And I'm just like, again, no passport, no laptop, hello. So can you just write them down?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So,
God, nothing is ever different. Whatever time in history you go to, that is happening.
It's true.
Are you sure you're okay?
Like, and she's like, nothing's even been stolen from her. And he's like, here's a blanket.
Exactly. That is exactly what it was like. She was so bewildered with his big blue eyes. Like, oh, you are very nice. And I'm like, ugh, again.
Missing
step
passport.
Aside, Mila.
Did the missing passport come up in the background check?
No, actually. They would have known all about it because it was reported immediately.
Oh,
I did the right thing. All of those embassy
tears. Got the paper trail.
Because I always wonder that, like, if you have a passport stolen, if there's somebody who...
Where does it end up?
Does that look like you did it in some way?
Or do they just... I guess they cut your photo out and just use it as a... Yeah. Is that what they do?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about crimes.
If someone's using your passport now,
that
will pop up in somebody's machine.
Yes.
If they're flying with it.
It's marked as stolen immediately.
So they would actually get arrested. So what is the purpose of doing that then? Because they're going to have it for 5 minutes before...
Maybe it's to, like, buy alcohol underage. Yeah. It's just a bunch of kids.
But I guess you can't fly with it.
No.
No, you might be able to... I mean, in those days... Okay, so this was, like, 2003. Maybe you could take a ferry with it or something. I don't know. Maybe they weren't that good then. They're very good now.
You could just have a very long circuitous
Is that the word?
Yes.
Root.
You go to the Isle of Wight.
And exactly. And from there, the Scilly Islands.
Worth it. Thank you for sharing those crimes.
Wow. I'm scarred, you guys. Scarred for life.
Yeah. I mean, the gun one. Yeah.
That is chilling. That mugging story is just really...
It was terrifying. It really was. I mean, I make light of it, but at the time we were both completely freaked out.
Of course. Yeah. And even as you say, like even the walking away, because you're still walking away from a gun. Yes. Like, and you're still not safe.
Particularly because you've kind of tried to...
Fucked with them about the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And I always think, I don't know why I always think that if you explain the sentimentality of something, that robbers will go, oh my God, babe, I did not realize.
I had a mother.
Yeah.
But you know who doesn't care about how you lost the ring is your mother. The one who gave it to you. She does not forgive. She does not forgive.
Oh, no.
But you were irresponsibly wearing a 9-carat gold ring while you were walking through the dangerous streets. Well, true.
Oh, no.
I thought she would just be pleased you were alive.
My mother? No.
She's all about the jewels.
Okay. Responsibility.
Wow.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Well,
Well, before we all start talking about our mothers,
this podcast is an hour. We have to. Okay, so today for our true crime, we are discussing an invention that claimed to be able to change the way the police got confessions out of criminals.
Oh.
Ooh.
Was it Mila? Secret weapon. Yeah. Was that her name?
That wasn't her
name.
You're right.
That makes sense.
So we're in America. We're in the 1920s.
Mm.
And how do you think, like, confessions were obtained from criminals at this point? Just, like, what was the normal way you'd get someone to confess to a crime?
I guess just badgering them, right? Just get in their face.
Get in their face?
Shout. Isolate them.
It's pre-Miranda rights, we know that.
Yes.
And oh yeah, Miranda wasn't on until like the 90s, Katie. See, that was the laugh. That was the laugh of a spy.
Also, it was definitely like the early 2000s that Miranda was.
Yeah, sorry, I got the wrong. Everything about the joke sucked. I'm so sorry.
We can't all be gold. Because I'm the expert, and all mine is so shiny gold, all the jokes I make. I am assuming there wasn't very much in the way of, you know, criminal rights.
Right.
In terms of not being beaten up.
Okay.
Because there isn't now. So.
Yeah. The clue is in the present.
I'm going with rubber hoses. They used to beat them with rubber hoses.
Oh, wow.
That was a thing. And I always thought they always emphasised rubber, like there were other kinds of hoses. Like,
yeah.
We do not use. The silk hoses. Oh, no. Rubber. But anyway, it's in books. I mean, I don't know. It was, but definitely the beating, right?
Yeah.
And what was that like? Up. Like a hose? Would there be, like, water would come out of it?
No, or? I think it was just the hose itself, so they could whip it from a distance. Because the end would then have... I mean, I'm no expert again. I'm just guessing. This is how my imagination works.
I didn't realize it was so gardening based. Wow.
Don't make us get the rake.
The rake would have been bad, though.
Oh, yeah, the rake would be awful.
Unless you had, like, a really itchy back. That would be lovely.
True. I would have told them anything.
Do you know what? You guys are all kind of right, is that it was violence would be used to coerce confessions out of people.
Mm.
They'd be in interrogation rooms. They get into an interrogation room. They get them alone. They, you know, they had no rights and a lot of violence. And also, I read somewhere that that's where the term the third degree comes from this. But I can't remember why, so that's not really very useful. So, so that's not a great,
like,
system.
A third degree burn? Did they burn them?
No, I don't think they burn them.
The degrees of violence for a second and third, like a little and then more?
Yeah.
Maybe it was something like that.
Interesting.
Wait, hose, rake. What comes after rake?
Or like a lawnmower. Third
degree. The lawnmower came out. Well, there was no need to make the noise. We all know what a lawnmower is.
This invention, I would argue, would potentially make the situation worse.
Okay.
So What do you think? I mean, I will tell you now that this
like
was
like a massage chair. Oh, I'm so relaxed.
This was from a patent, so there was a patent in 1920 for it. This doesn't necessarily mean that this was at any point used, but this is what the inventor pitched. So the inventor pitched something that would be something that would be put in the interrogation room with the criminal in order to get these confessions, and they thought this would be a lot. This would be a much better way of doing it. It's fucking nuts, so go wild.
Okay. Okay, I'm picturing, because you've already got your violent stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is save time. It's a lot of time and energy to beat the shit out of someone. So maybe you've got a machine, maybe it's some kind of like little electronic thing. So there's just a threat of like, we're going to attach you to, we're going to electrocute you. It's just going to sit there. Okay. And the machine will do the torturing, I guess, for
like
you.
Like an electrical charge.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the Addams Family with Debbie.
Yeah.
When she does, she has them all in the chairs, and I'm sure there's a Simpsons episode where they're all in the chairs.
Oh yeah.
The therapy one.
Okay. So I think that's my sadistic answer. I'm not happy with it, but that's my answer.
I like guess. Good guess. What would you put in the room
with them?
20.
Because lie detector tests came not hugely long after that, although they weren't really good yet, but they weren't invented really early.
That's better than my guess.
I just keep picturing
this is a competition. Yeah. Just good. So you know.
Does it also makes you sound less psycho? Like,
well, I tell you what I'd do is rig them up to some electronics.
Something that I've sketched out in my spare time. If I'm a violent cop, here's where I'm thinking. I just keep picturing the giant doll from Squid Game for some reason.
Oh, the girl.
Past that. Yeah, the girl.
Well,
is it the girl from Squid Game?
I'm going to tell you that you were the closest.
Ooh.
And
how?
I know.
Okay, this is batshit.
And the hint I'll give you next is that basically at that time, spiritualism was quite big in the States. So any advance on
like a voodoo doll?
A Ouija board.
No, like
okay.
Like a machine?
A ghost machine?
Yeah, something like maybe it emits white noise and he says it's the spirits are going to be cross with you or something.
Oh.
Spiritualism. What would you put in a room?
Spiritualism.
I like ghost machine.
And it's a technical term.
And do you know what? I'm going to tell you, it was a giant skeleton.
What? Oh.
Okay. You need a patent?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all got one.
Yeah. How is this patent not rejected out of hand?
I mean, there's more. There's more. It starts with the giant skeleton.
Okay.
Spiritualism had been quite big at the time, and the inventor thought that it would scare the perp into confessing. So the idea was to frighten someone into confessing. They claimed, this was on the patent, that the illusion of a supernatural character will work upon the suspect's imagination. Convinced that he is speaking to a true ghost skeleton, the bandit in the chamber will spontaneously confess his most secret crimes.
So it is a ghost machine.
Essentially.
Oh, boy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think it would work on you?
Optimism. No, I think I'd just be really, like, sad, locked in a room with a skeleton.
I would just treat it like my therapist. I'd be like, so, what did we talk about last time? Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening.
I think the skeleton is less terrifying than having the shit beaten out of you.
Agreed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Good point. But, like, this is the thing, is that you're not just going to confess to any old skeleton. There was obviously adaptations to the skeleton to make it more frightening.
Oh, my God.
Different hats.
What else did this skeleton
like
have?
Like glowing eyes.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Yes, red glowing eyes. That was one of them. Anything else?
From what I know about America, Halloween's a big thing. Would everyone have not just been like, woohoo, what a cool looking skeleton?
I wonder if he's got any candy.
Yeah. Trick or treat, smell my feet.
I've never heard that before. That's amazing.
Have you not?
No.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. If you don't, I don't care. I'll pull down your underwear.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that how it ended? It's got to end with a sexual assault. It's usually underwear. It's just how we do it.
God, it's amazing it's so popular in America.
It's massive.
It's like the
it's like The Purge. Come on. It's one night only. What was the question? What else?
Okay, did the bones rattle or smoke or something like that? Or is that too ahead of its time?
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. It would have made a bit... I'll tell you what. They did have, like, lights came down from the top and lights from the bottom as well. So it made it seem like it was kind of floating.
Oh, my God.
With the red eyes. So sort of that kind of...
This feels like somebody who wanted to work in theatre but got stuck working on the force. Yeah. All right, we need lights. Drapery.
Oh, my God. They're really trying to zhuzh up their job.
So the skeleton, I mean, obviously you can't interrogate someone without a voice. The skeleton would talk. How do you think they made the skeleton talk?
As in the door appears to move without...
Yeah, so basically, what would happen is, a perp was led into the interrogation room. The lights would be down. Then the lights would illuminate the skeleton. Both the eyes would start to shine. And then the skeleton would start to talk. So I'm not sure if the jaw would move, but...
But they're a speaker.
But is it Vincent Price that does the talking in Thriller?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's his voice.
I would
1920. Like baby Vincent.
An approximation.
Yeah, exactly.
So they get like...
40,000. I can't do that.
They get like the guy with the spookiest voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you're like, hey, Paul, just a few questions before we let you go. Happy Halloween.
There would be another room adjoining onto the interrogation room where the detectives would sit with a megaphone.
Oh my God.
A megaphone.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
My Vincent Price ass is not looking like that.
And they'd ask the perp questions, and they would move the mouth, so the mouth would be moving.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And it would just be this guy sort of essentially behind a curtain.
But like a bad animation. I bet it was moving at the right time.
Just clicking.
The perp's gotta be like, I'm being pranked, right? Like, what the fuck are the police doing?
Right.
Yes. It's such a kind of, because the patent, like, you can see it, there's drawings and there's explanations as to why they think it will work.
Maybe the person whose idea it was is like trying to stop the violence. Maybe they're just so desperate to stop the violence that they're like, guys, look, wait, can we not try skeletons? It's too much. You keep killing all the perps.
Yeah. Let's just try anything else. Anything. But also the goal of the skeleton was to cut down on retracted confessions.
Okay.
So the inventor said it is a well-known fact in criminal practices that confessions obtained initially from those suspected of crimes through ordinary channels are almost invariably later retracted. So this was the problem, was they'd get confessions by beating them up, mm-hmm. and then they'd get better.
I said that only so the beating would stop.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah.
Can they not be like, I only said it because I was scared shitless of a skeleton with lighty eyes?
Yeah, I kind of feel like that undermines the whole...
They haven't solved the problem, they've just moved it.
Yeah, they've displaced it.
Don't worry, the inventor has covered this.
Okay.
How does the skeleton make sure you can't retract your statement?
Oh. It takes your soul.
It's something to do with his brain or his skull. So it's something that's in his skull.
Oh, it's a recording device.
Yes.
But could they not have just
they were recording before? You didn't need the skeleton.
Recording device would do. Yes. Just microphone.
I mean, it's a very good point. And also...
We can't just put a recorder in there, boys. It needs a body.
And also, it's a hidden recorder, presumably, then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess there were no rights around without your knowledge, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. And also, this is the thing as well. Sometimes when you see a patent and you're like, so it was a film camera that they'd pitched would be inside the skull. And like, this is 1920s. And like, I don't know much about 1920s film cameras.
It was not audio. They were huge.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely huge.
As big as the table, huge.
Yeah, and also like a... Exactly. Like, they make all this noise.
Yeah.
This was maybe never going to work. But...
Drunk women solving crime.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Drunk women solving crime.
Before we get back into this week's episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime, we must tell you all about the new season of True Detective Night Country, which is available to watch exclusively on Sky TV.
Episodes are dropping weekly on Sky Atlantic, and we have been so excited to get a first look at this new season, which stars Jodie Foster and Kaylee Reese.
And the best part is, you don't need to have watched the past seasons. You can just dive straight into this one.
So, guys, what did we think of the first episode?
It's so creepy and atmospheric, because I've only ever seen the first season of True Detective, which I loved, and it's just captured that sort of sense of dread and what's going to happen, and the suspense is there from the first 30 seconds.
And just such beautiful scenery, but still super spooky.
There's a bit in it at the very beginning where a character looks terrified and says, "She's awake," and that's how I feel about having a newborn. Oh my God, I'm really hard relating to this right now.
Stuff like when there's like the marks on the tongue that gets found is like this huge clue. And that I love stuff like that, like the attention to detail.
It's a pretty early tongue, which is the name of my sex tape. We should say where it takes place, because I think that's part of, it's almost the other character in the series. It's in this, turns out it's a fictional town, but it's based very much on real places. It's a town called Ennis in Alaska, and it's way up on the Arctic Circle, and it sort of kicks off with the last sunset of the season in December. So the whole series is taking place in darkness, which immediately just gives this amazing tone to the whole thing. And there's a bit of a theme of the supernatural running in. I think they're sort of raising the question of, you know, it's a crime series and they're going to look for hard evidence, but is there something involved in the supernatural realm?
Yeah, it really seems like that is being played as a possible explanation as well, isn't it? There's like a real kind of Mary Celeste mystery. Very yes. Early doors. It's like, what has happened here? It could be almost anything.
And with the disappearance of men in the snow, it reminded me a bit of a case that we did about the Dyatlov Pass mystery in Russia, where there was this question of why do people end up, you know, running and so scared and in states of partial undress in the snow? And I'm like, ooh, and they're kind of throwing around theories about that. So
we've been training our entire audience up for this series. Episode 2, I'm not going to mention anything about it, hashtag no spoilers, but there's a bit in it that I think was inspired by the Titanic. I do think everything is inspired by the Titanic, because I certainly am, but there's a bit in it where it's something that they did after the Titanic sank that they do in this. Answers on a postcard. If you spot that, let me know if you know what it was.
We should talk about the leads as well, because I have always loved Jodie Foster, and she's obviously one of the best actors out there. Kaylee Reese, I had never seen, and she has not done nearly as much acting as Jodie Foster, and you would never know it. It turns out she used to be a professional boxer.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Which kind of shows, like, she's really badass. She's a very cool character, but she is just acting at the same level as Jodie, and I want to see where their relationship goes, because there's a lot of friction between these two. They are not best buds.
No, but they do respect each other, don't they? They've got that whole detective buddy thing going, where there's grudging respect.
Yeah, you can tell, well, okay, they're going to be thrown together, and then they're going to have to work through their differences. And also, it feels like there's a bit of an observation about the relationship between the indigenous population there and the beliefs and kind of respecting culture, you know, versus all the white people there that have kind of come in. So there's a big question mark on how is all that going to play out?
Yes. The micro and the macro. Name of my sex tape. Sorry.
I've always thought, like, I have like my three favourite genres of TV shows and films, and they're kids on bikes, of course, sharks but clever,
and Police in the Snow. So this was like absolutely made for me, this show, because Police in the Snow is just, it's just such a great genre. There's something about it that's really, you like you say, it's just spooky because it's all, I was about to say it all happens at night, but of course it doesn't. It all happens during the day, but it's dark. The whole time they're like, you know, they'll be looking out the window and it'll be dark and they'll say, do you want lunch? And I'll be like, what? They're having lunch for dinner? That's mental. And then I'll realise, of course they mean they. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It is a great series. I've really enjoyed it. And also in terms of feeling like it's exactly for me, is I follow these people on Instagram who one person lives in this place in the North Pole and you just follow her life. And it's just amazing because she talks about the, you know, all the days of darkness. And also there's a research station because some of it happens at a research station. And I follow a research station up in the North Pole as well. And I'm just like, it's like the algorithm has like really got me this time. Now watch this TV show. And there's puppies in it. There's like a lot of great huskies, like a lot of
there are dogs. There are some good dogs in there. Man, the day they make Sharks on Bikes in the Snow, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
This is one that is definitely worth checking out. If you want to be a little bit creeped out and you want a lot of crime, a lot of forensics, an amazing setting, amazing acting. So join us in watching True Detective Night Country, available exclusively on Sky TV.
Night Country.
Night Country.
Night Country. Yeah. Can't believe they didn't use that in the series. Billie Eilish, whatever.
Well, like I said, we know about this because there was a patent filed on August 16th, 1927.
Because there are so many other people vying to make
you gotta get
skeleton ahead. Confession. Yeah. Mine has blue eyes.
So, I mean, obviously now we need to talk about the person who invented this. Who is this person? Uh-huh. And that's what I want to ask you is, like, what is your initial thoughts on who this person is?
I think we've gone through this wannabe theater guy.
Yeah.
Which makes the most sense. Somebody very theatrical, surely.
Yeah.
It's got to be a theatrical, hippie, anti-violence
theater guy. If it's not, I'm leaving.
It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, I guess. Please confess to me. I'm just some bones. Very good. The Phantom of the Opera wants to know who you fucked. We have already talked about opera, haven't we? Right. So, but before I reveal who this person is, I want to know, does anyone have an invention in them that they think could make them £1 million? Because I think I do. So, and I'm willing to share it. But I need to know, have you ever invented anything or thought I could be an inventor?
I don't, because I got nothing. I just don't come up with useful things. But my brother had an idea once for a salsa bowl. You know when you try to put the... of course, it's for food. It's my family. You know when you, like, chase the salsa with the chip and you're, like, trying to get it on?
Yeah.
He had this idea for a bowl that sort of curved in at the top so that the wave...
Gravity helps it.
Yeah, it would sort of drive the salsa and it would fall under
That's
the chip.
That's great.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Or maybe it has. I haven't looked into it at all.
That's really good. I would absolutely buy that.
I think it makes sense.
That is really good.
Hmm. Someone's going to nick it now. You've announced it.
Go forth and sell my brother's idea.
I mean,
there's no way you could patent that.
No. Is anyone good at pottery? Could you just make one?
Yeah.
Make a prototype.
Yeah.
Again, I'm useless. I got nothing.
Same. I've got nothing. I don't invent. I don't put myself out there. Shut down.
Katie, anything?
No, I've got like hypothetical stuff, but I don't know the science of how to invent it.
Hey, I presume neither did this person. Like, that is...
That's how the best things begin.
Yeah, like, I don't know, a ray that makes you be able to fly.
Oh, okay, I see.
Oh, wow. Okay. Uh-huh.
It's more like wish fulfillment than invention.
Okay. Very childlike.
It's like a going invisible. I'm going to patent that.
Yeah. Just haven't got the science sorted out yet.
My one is, it's not great. It's another food one. But, and I can't think of the word. The problem is, I won't be very good at pitching this on Dragon's Den because I can never think of the word for, what's the word for, like, you know, if you have a thing of paper, like a kind of paper pad, and you like pull the paper out and there's an edge there that's slightly sort of, is it, it's not serrated, is it? It's, what's
perforated.
Perforated. There we go. So the pitch starts now. Now I've got all the words I need. Okay. Perforated lasagna sheets.
What, that you pull out of a book?
Hang on.
No, but...
Because your dish might not be the exact size. Oh, my God.
And it never is.
Oh, my God. Would buy. Perforated lasagna.
And now I know the word perforated. I'm going to be a millionaire.
When I make lasagna, I try to break it.
Yeah.
And it's all jagged.
And it's all jagged.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you have to put all the shitty bits that you've got on the floor. You have to put those in.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever eaten my lasagna, I'm sorry. That is how it happens.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That is great.
Right?
That is up there with salsa bowl.
It should work. You should be able to punch holes in pasta, no problem.
Yeah, why does,
you do it when
why
it's wet?
Does this not exist? And again, you've given it away for free.
Fuck.
But...
this is how copyright works. I've copyrighted that.
Yeah. This is making me really crave lasagna.
I know, I'm hungry for all these tomato-based products right now.
You're welcome for floor lasagna here whenever you like. But it is dangerous as well, because you do that and it can, like, go in your eye.
True. It's a health and safety issue.
I've almost cut myself with it.
It was clearly a trauma that's inspired this. Were you in A&E with a pasta injury and then you've invented...
It feels like the sort of thing people could be like, what is Hannah up to now?
I've never had a dish that's the right size, though. No. And there's the real frustration there, so yep.
And also the dish, they're smaller at the bottom. So the ones at the top are fine. Yes. But it's the ones at the bottom that you need to break a bit off.
And often they're like curved at the edges, right? You very rarely get a dish that's...
No, true.
Oh, I was really nervous about talking about that. I thought you would think it was stupid.
I'm excited. I can't wait till it comes out. What are you going to call it?
Ooh, perfectorated lasagna.
Yay!
Okay, we need to workshop this.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely a kind of a thing that I would put my life savings to if I really lost my mind. And I kind of want that to happen.
Like this guy with the skeleton. Like,
yes. Oh my gosh.
You can make your own pasta.
Yeah.
So you could make it the shape you wanted anyway, if you could be bothered to, you know, separate the egg yolk and make your own. Pasta. I never bought a press. I had a little phase of making my own pasta, but I never bought like the sheety thing that you put it to. Like,
do you have a KitchenAid? We have not been paid by KitchenAid.
I don't know what KitchenAid is.
Is that the thing that's like a tiny trouser press?
Great British Bake Off, that style of stand mixer, KitchenAid.
You can buy any
accessory. I've got the pasta attachment.
We used to have a pasta maker like when we were kids, but we just used it for Play-Doh. My poor parents. Okay.
But sorry, Katie, you had a pasta...
Oh, no, I just... So you could make your own heart's desire of shape of pasta.
I mean, watch out, guys. I've forgotten the word again. Perforated?
Perfectorated.
Perfectorated. Perfectorated lasagna sheets coming your way.
It sounds delicious.
So are we all in agreement? We think this is like someone who works for the police who is a bit theatrical...
I think they're a theatrical hippie because they want to stop the violence.
Okay, nice.
It's an interesting time for psychology around this time, so maybe it's sort of a psychologist that's bored with the day-to-day and wants to get involved in justice.
And interestingly, I've never said he.
Oh.
Do we think it is?
I was picturing, when I said hippie, I was picturing a woman.
Okay.
I'm not saying a woman can do
men
it.
Can't
it's just
be
they
hippies.
Didn't let them very often. That's why. So I'm not sexist. I'm just being realistic.
You couldn't even rent a house, much less invent a skeleton.
Right?
Yeah. How are you going to invent something when you haven't even got a safe place to live?
Well,
was it a woman?
Helen Adelaide Shelby.
Helen.
Yes, of Oakland, California.
Hippie.
Hey, I profiled correctly.
but that was kind of like one of the strangest things about it was the fact that it was this, you know, this woman, and like you say, like in the 20s, they were hardly given the opportunity to do anything.
Is this another glass cliff thing? Because if they're 50% of the confessions are being retracted, they're like, God, we're so shit at this, right? Anyone can have a go. Have you got any ideas? And that's how women
get in. We are going to open the floor for 10 days.
So now we know it's a lady from California. What do we think her bag is? Why would she invent something like this? Who hurt her?
Was she a lady, though?
Ooh.
Joking. Why did she invent this?
Yeah, like what?
She wants to stop the violence. Sorry, I keep talking.
No, but stop the violence.
It's a podcast.
I'm like,
no.
But I do think that she is anti the violence.
Okay.
I think that's her motive.
I would say, what if her husband is a detective?
Ooh.
And she thought, oh, I know. I'll invent this amazing, helpful thing that will make his life and he'll come home happy.
Because he's whinging about all these overturned cases. And she's like, shut this fucker up about
my
these
knuckles
cases.
Hurt from punching all those would-be criminals.
Yeah, I feel like my husband doesn't get enough respect at work. What I'll do is
I'll I've been thinking.
A talking skeleton.
Well, you were spot on that she's married. She is married, most important thing, to Edgar. And the sad thing is...
Edgar Allan Poe. It checks out.
The sad thing is we don't know much about old Helen, because this patent was found, sort of, I think, relatively recently, and she sort of disappeared a little bit after this. But,
after it didn't work. Because went, see, women can't do stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And no other woman has invented anything until the perforated pasta. So the things we do know about her, we know that she liked betting on horses.
Okay.
We know that she had a job. What do we think her job was?
Oh, theatre.
What were the four jobs available for women? 20.
Secretary, teacher, nurse.
Maybe she's a poet if she's a hippie, which I'm sticking to.
But is that a job? I say this as a writer.
'20s, it was easier to get paid for writing than it is now.
True. That is true.
Mm.
Possibly.
Why a skeleton?
Yes.
Okay. Is she a nurse? Does she work in a hospital?
Okay. Oh, she has to mend all the broken bones of all the perps.
Oh,
the police have been hurting.
Don't tell us we're wrong. Our little hearts will be broken.
Yeah. I mean, looking at all your little faces now.
Was Edgar a perp that got beaten up?
Ooh. No.
Or was she into the occult herself?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Not that that's a job. Was she a fortune teller?
Is she a seance?
There's never been a fortune teller called Helen.
Madame Levinska.
Hi, I'm Helen. I'm going to tell it to you like it is.
Although, you know, she'd be like, yeah, I've got the tricks of the trade. What you want to do is you press play and on the head. It's going to flash its lights. Everyone will be really scared and your seance will go really well.
I mean, confession.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's relatively boring. She was essentially a landlord. She'd sell these properties, which is, again, for a woman at that time, in Oakland, Santa Cruz and San Francisco.
Nice.
So it probably wasn't sort of like short of a few bob as well.
No.
And you kind of think...
She can have hobbies building skeletons.
Yeah, exactly. Like what she does in her spare time is this. So do you think she ever invented anything else, or is this just a one-off bonkers patent?
Quick question. Please. Was it... a fake skeleton, or did they get a real skeleton?
Oh, that's a good question.
It was fake because it was giant. Unless it was a really big lad.
Was it extra large
it
to
was
intimidate?
Big. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. Oh. That's a nice touch, Helen.
Well done.
Did she invent anything else? Oh, I hope so. I hope she was like, what was that film with Jennifer Lawrence? Joy. About the woman that invented the mop and all the other things. I hope she was a bit of a joy.
Nice.
Had a whole
roster
of... Yeah.
Crazy shit.
You lived in the States. Do you know who Ron Popeil is? Do you remember Ron Popeil?
No, who's Ron Popeil?
Oh my gosh. I mean, he must be long dead now, but he was like the original, buy things from TV. Like he had this pasta maker, the Ron Popeil pasta maker. It's magic. And he just invented all the, it was mostly kitchen stuff. Amazing. Hey guys.
Look what you can do with an onion.
Tired of lasagna that doesn't quite fit?
Is this guy still alive? Because I think we need him on the team.
His children probably are. Hit them up.
The Papil family.
Yeah, they're probably just enjoying his money that he made.
Pasta Nepo babies. God, it gets into everything. Anything else for Helen? Do we think that she...
I think if she did invent something else, it would be completely different. So unrelated to police work, like a really great sewing machine or some super awesome, I don't know, incense that makes your house smell amazing. I mean, I genuinely don't know.
No, but that's interesting. Yeah.
I like, see, I think she's just got a series of different skeletons and they're mainly aimed at kids' parties. She's got one idea and she's like, somebody's going to want this fucking skeleton. Maybe the police got another
skeleton patent coming in.
She's a landlord like, okay, security skeleton. Hear me out. What can't be improved with a skeleton? It's the answer to all of life's problems.
Feeling lonely? Companion skeleton.
I mean, it's a shame because I feel like she's missed a trick here, but it was a one-off.
Okay.
No idea why she decided to do it. Because, like, you know, I feel like... You're out there. I know, you wouldn't need to be watching... Like, I sometimes watch 24 Hours in Police Custody, and, you know, with that stuff, I feel like I know a bit more about how the police works. But I almost feel like, how would she have known? I mean, I don't know what Edgar did, but, like, how would she have known that this was a problem?
Well, there would have been crime fiction.
Yes.
That would have been popular.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm going to solve this.
Do we know how many, like, precincts it was rolled out into? Is it, like, one that they did the test and they're like, this doesn't work? Or did it actually get...
Yeah, how big was the budget?
Right. Like, how many places tried it? Do we know?
So the patent was granted in 1930, so 3 years after she sort of applied for it. It was granted, but it lapsed in 1947 when she died, and it was never used.
Okay. Oh, it never got used once?
No. So we'll never know.
Wow.
However, somebody did create it again when they found this painting.
Oh, my God.
And somebody brought it to life in 2020. Who do you think did that? Or, I mean, you won't guess the person, but what kind of person did it and thought, this is a good idea? It's more like, who has the time and the inclination?
Elon Musk.
That's what I was thinking.
I was trying not to say that. Too. Like, all I can think of is Elon Musk.
I know,
Musk.
Why?
I just want him to be long.
No long. Oh, come on, Zuckerberg has to do something. It was Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he's got time.
Yes, he's like, you didn't get a confession out of me, but I'm going to try and get one out.
What we're saying is very wealthy white man.
You're spot on. But it's not Zuckerberg or Musk.
Okay, wait. Okay. Give us a hint. Is it? Give us a hint.
It's somebody who creates their own content.
Oh.
Okay.
So a YouTuber.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was a young white man who has too much money. He's called Tom Scott. I hadn't heard of him, but that literally means fuck all in terms of YouTubers. Yeah. And he tried it out on other YouTubers as he created the whole thing in this room.
To see if they confess?
Yeah, to see what their reaction would be. And obviously, I mean, I watched the video, obviously the reaction is they all just laughed. One of them was like slightly claustrophobic, so it was a bit more...
Oh no.
A little bit more frightening for him.
But they didn't know what to expect. They just got put into a room and then the lights come up.
Yeah, they did a thing where they were like, right, I'm going to leave you in here, the three of you in here with a plate of biscuits. One of you has to steal a biscuit and eat it. And then and then you have to tell me who it is. And they obviously all go, no, it wasn't me. And then they tried to get the confession out of them. But they just laughed.
Oh, yeah, to be a YouTuber.
Were they separated for the... Did they all meet the skeleton one at a time?
It was one at a time. But they all knew who had done it because they were all in the same room when they...
Yeah.
And nobody confessed.
No, they just laughed.
It didn't work, Alan.
So
it didn't
really
work.
He should have beaten the shit out of them at the end.
Yes. Rubber. Yeah. Bit of the bring out the hoses.
Yeah. What's wrong with a good old hose?
But also, like, in the 1920s, there was a whole big thing about spiritualism. Mm. So it probably would have been really that would have been like the high end thing at the time, and everybody was terrified about afterlife stuff.
Yeah, and you would have been...
It's sort of not a fair test.
No. But you would definitely have been like, and why the fuck are the police doing this? This feels...
Yeah. A little bit.
I didn't know the police had got so into Halloween.
So another reason why this never would have worked is because at some point the Supreme Court ruled that coerced confessions are not admissible in court.
Okay. And does that count as skeleton? If you're coerced, even if it's by a skeleton.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
I was boned into a confession.
Ew. So when do you think they finally came to that conclusion in the US that actually we shouldn't be able to beat confessions out of people or scare confessions out of people?
So now we're getting to Miranda.
Yeah.
It's post-Cold War, right? Oh, no, it's got to be earlier than that.
Well, the Miranda is in the...
Did a case on this. It's the 50s, isn't it?
I think it's the 50s. 53? Yeah.
I think so.
52? I literally studied this and forgot it instantly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
In the 50s, but maybe 60s. Uh-huh. 1961.
I mean, that's spot on. Yeah. Hey! Well done.
There we go.
Amazing.
Wow.
But yeah, that's quite late, isn't it?
It's a long time to beat
that
people.
Is, yeah, that is so much later than I would have guessed. Like, without the context of all this, I would have thought it was way earlier than that. Yeah.
But
that
it's not like, ridiculous. You know, that's just when they had a law. That won't have stopped anything. I know English cops and American cops and blah, 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 and there is a difference. But there was a joke when I was growing up. How many police does it take to crack an egg? None. It fell down the stairs. Like, oh, it's like the police were doing whatever they wanted, and they still probably are.
Dark.
With the law or without.
Sure. I'm just amazed that even for show,
they had thought, yeah,
like, we should make it look like we're not torturing people. Am I right? Am I right?
Also, was that in a joke book? Like,
it was such an 80s joke. It was like...
in a cracker. Oh, God. Family. My granddad used to always read out his... He'd pull his joke out and he'd always read it and go, "Help, I'm stuck in a cracker factory." That would be his joke. But he did it every year. And we still do it now every year. Just a little, little nice nod. But... back to Helen Adelaide Shelby. That's pretty much all we have on Helen. So I think, shall we hear it for badass invention?
What a legend!
Helen.
Go Helen!
Talking skeletons. Drunk women solving
crime. So we have just enough time for a listener crime. This is from Mrs. Nix 91 on Apple Podcasts.
I don't think that's your real name.
Also with 91, I'm like, oh, is that the year she was born? My God, 90s. But when people are born in the 90s, I think that's mad.
No, it upsets me. I'm sorry, Mrs. Nix.
Just yesterday, we referenced 2004 for some reason, and my daughter was like, "Were you alive then?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck off. I didn't say that out loud."
But you thought it.
But you would have been allowed to.
Yeah, that's true. We would have forgiven
2004.
You. I mean.
That's what my hairdresser said. She was like, "Well, I was a 2001 baby." And I was like,
"Shut up.
Are you joking?"
I literally have t-shirts older than that. I literally do. That's so sad.
Yeah. I have a Far Side t-shirt from 1994.
Aww. Nice.
And it's the sheep having a barbecue. And the caption is, "You're sick, Jesse Six."
I mean, when a t-shirt is good, it's good. Yeah, you've got to keep it.
I can't get
keeper.
Rid of it.
No.
And you shouldn't.
No.
So,
R.I.P. Gary Larson.
Mrs. Nix 91, who actually will be 32, so actually she's not that young. or something like that. That's about that age. Anyway, dear drunk women, my crime. Well, a mystery, really. On my honeymoon in Thailand, hashtag humble brag, my husband and I took a canoe from the hotel down to the beach. We went out on the sea, then took it back to the beach for a lie down. We swear we closed our eyes for 10 minutes max. When we both looked up, the canoe next to us was gone. No tracks where it could have been dragged away. No footprints where people carried it off. Where did it go?
It floated into the sea.
Yeah. Oh.
Were they by the sea?
Well, they were. They fell asleep next to it.
Yeah.
Okay, were you wet?
That's
when
the question.
When you woke up.
Were you both soaking wet?
Sorry, so they had pulled it up onto the beach. It was on the sand.
So they were far from the sea.
Okay. Yeah.
But it sounds like there's a little tributary, if you will, from the hotel to the sea, right?
Yeah.
But So two people just picked it up.
Could have done, but there was no footprints.
There were no footprints.
But they could have just, like, you know, kicked the sand away as they walked.
Yeah, there's a way to walk on sand that you kick your steps as you go. It's easier if you go backwards. I don't know why I know this. But picture it like... Doo, 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 doo.
Where were you on the night?
You've been to Thailand.
It's a handy skill.
Do you remember there was an episode of Jonathan Creek, just to bring it back to Jonathan Creek, where there was like no footprints in the... There was a murder and someone in the house witnessed it, but then there were no footprints in the snow away from where it was. And it was because it was to do with mirrors. And it was because there was a mirror in the window. And so he'd seen it from a different angle. And what I'm saying is maybe it's that.
Maybe it's that. I like it.
They woke up with a mirror. Yeah,
exactly. The old mirror canoe trick. She says, this is easily a conversation topic between us weekly, even 5 years later.
Oh, wow.
Did we imagine the canoe ride? Were we drunk on the all-inclusive breakfast prosecco?
Yes, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a crime.
What if they were asleep longer than 10 minutes? So it's really easy to do that on the beach, especially if you've flown long haul and you're really jet lagged, which messes with your... So if they slept longer, then the sound could have been disrupted after the canoe. And somebody just thought, oh, the canoe. So they're not using it. They're asleep. I will borrow the canoe and then...
I don't think there would be footprints because they're going to be on the dry sand and that doesn't leave footprints.
True.
It just leaves little divots. So as long as there were two people and they picked up the canoe, it just leaves little divots.
Maybe somebody was going to bring it back. Like that, like you say, they were just borrowing it and then these guys had gone and then they never got a chance to return it.
It was an innocent theft.
They didn't want to wake them up because they were asleep. Yeah. They're not going to go, excuse me, are you using that? And you tiptoe away quietly with your new canoe.
Also, presumably, they didn't own this canoe. The hotel owned it.
Yeah, I don't think they bought it.
Probably some hotel employees came and went, oh, these drunk idiots. I guess we'll take, before someone steals this canoe, I guess we'll quietly take it back to the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, I think we've
yeah,
solved
that
it.
Makes
here.
The most sense. Yeah.
As long as we shame the people that have written in, thank you for listening.
Yeah, Mrs. Nix, you're lazy and stupid. So.
Somebody, a spy, was checking on them and was, or at least was checking on the canoe.
Needed the canoe.
And yeah.
To get away.
Yes.
From being chased by other spies.
Yes.
And they would never leave footprints.
Well, there we have it.
There you go.
Okay, we solved.
Nix, did you make any new friends on this trip? Oh, well.
That were in all your coffee shops.
She's in our bed one night. It's weird. Mrs. Nix, I hope that has helped.
Sure. Don't see how.
We've got just enough time to say, Ava Glass, tell us what's coming up. Where can we find you? What's the next book? Is it still with the woman who broke her heart?
Yeah, the woman who deceived me.
best friend I ever had.
Betrayed me. I know, the best friend I never had. Is she still in it? Like, I've written two so far. The Chase and The Traitor. And they both have the same main character, although they're standalone. So you get to see her at different times.
Nice.
She's also young. She's also deceptive. But I kind of like being in her head because then I get to theorize about whether she has any guilt about lying to me and the other people. But so they're out there. They're good. They're published by Penguin. Like, I wrote her because there aren't many female spies in fiction that are written just like male spies are written.
Right.
You know, just like, here's a woman who's capable, who wants this job, is going to do this job, and is perfectly capable of doing a good job at it.
Yeah.
And go out there and do spying. She's flawed. She's human. She's interesting. She's smart.
Yeah.
She's capable. That's what I wanted to write. That's literally it. Hmm. And there's so little of that that gets published because they say women don't read spy fiction.
Huh. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not untrue. I think the two tie in together, but I think I know why. And that's because spy fiction in the 20th century was completely appalling to women. It's just so sexist. You read it. Like, Casino Royale is a great book. It's a James Bond book. It's a great book. It is the most sexist thing I think I have ever picked up and put down again. Like, and yet I can still say that's a good book, but it didn't make me want to read a lot more James Bond. Because I could see Mr. Ian Fleming had some issues with the ladies.
Clearly. Yeah.
So I think that's why. And I think the door is opening a bit. Like, more women are starting to write spy fiction. More women are getting involved in this. And there's great TV involving female spies that are kind of like kicking at that door. Mm. So that we have a right to be like in this world and to not be completely insulted on page 27 of every book we pick up.
Or being some fucking femme fatale or having your butt slapped.
Constantly. Yes,
or having a stupid name like in a...
Galore. I mean, my God.
Yes. That's what my friend described James Bond as, it's just a man having sex with people with stupid names.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. But Ian Fleming went from Vesper Lynn to Pussy Galore in 5 books.
Yeah.
Like, he just got really drunk, I think. By the
How far can I push this? I'll try. I'm sure they'll take it out. Oh, they didn't.
Oh, no. I've got to be better than that in the next one. Butt crack beauty. That's what she is in book 6.
That's so true. It's hardly like, come on, women, enjoy.
Enjoy this wonderful fiction. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well, there is no better place to end than butt crack beauty. let's hear it for our brilliant guest, Ava Glass.
Yay!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.